जय मां। व्हेन इट कम्स टू द मदर एंड शिरोबिंदु एंड द वास्ट ओशियन दैट दे हैव प्लेस्ड बिफोर अस, ऑफन टू सम इट मे बी एक्साइटिंग बिकॉज इट्स एन ओशियन ऑफ नॉलेज। सो यू नो ओशियन इज वेरी इन्वाइटिंग। टू अदर्स इट कुड बी इंटिमिडेटिंग because an ocean can be, you know, we can drown in it. Of course, to drown in the Mother and Shurubindu is the best way to die to oneself and be born to the true self. But there is a simple way which I have sort of discovered after having read all the writings, not a shortcut way, is simply to meditate upon some of the key words that we find recurring all through, whether it be ashram, Auroville, individual, nations, everywhere. And one of the word that comes again and again is truth. Supramental, it's truth consciousness. It is the age of truth, Satyog. Truth is supreme harmony and delight, somewhere truth, at the service of truth. So when we meditate upon this simple word, truth, then we discover truth is certainly not in appearances that we understand. Truth is not what seems apparent. Truth is not my truth and your truth. That means truth is not a mental conception. Because in mental conception, there is always my truth and your truth. And truth is not a legal patta transfer from one person to another. Truth is not a political declaration. Truth is too vast and profound, and yet it takes into account everything. Actually, if we take truth as a base, then there will be no conflict between science and spirituality. Absolutely no conflict. We are seekers of truth. So truth in the spiritual sense, and of course in the scientific sense, but we'll talk about the spiritual sense, is to discover that ultimate bedrock of reality, the source from which everything has sprung forth, by which all is sustained, by which all is governed, by which all is growing. Supermind is the law of truth. Satya dharmaye drishtaye, that's how the Rishi puts it. Hiranmayena patrena satyasyapi hitam mukham. Tattvam pushanya pavranu satya dharmaya drishtes. So the face of truth is covered by a golden lid. That reveal. And then he says we want to live by the law of truth. So what is the law of truth? We have to discover the law of truth and live by it. So as we have been studying in the Gita, one hint to the law of truth is the swabhava. In an individual, the impulsion of truth is felt deep within. In Indian thought, it's also known as the dharma, swabhava and swadharma. So if we live by that deep truth within, then doesn't matter. Success and failure, ambitions, this, that is not the issue at all. They distract us, they sidetrack us, they take us in God knows where. But to live by their deepest truth, and that deepest truth springs forth in the human heart as an aspiration. It's not like something which is visible. It may not be, yet it would be the deepest truth. Nobody may know about it. Like everybody who is asleep may not know that there is something called as the sun. Yet the truth is there. That's the beauty of truth. Aspiration contains within itself the seed of truth, things that are not yet, and yet they seek to manifest. Now just imagine. Nothing which is yet within the realm of our human experience, yet it is true. It's not decided by, democratic voting system. So when we just meditate upon truth, it reveals so many aspects and it becomes a quest. That's why Mother says something very interesting. She says it in the context of the ashram after the school inauguration. It applies here because these are universal statements. We are not here, and I suppose it applies everywhere. We are not here to do what others are doing. We are here to do what others do not do or cannot do because they do not know how to do it. They do not know about it. So we are not here to continue with the same old pattern of life. Many times, even in Sri Aurobindo circles, when I see the same old world. Governors are coming, they are being greeted. It's all old world, nothing else. Human beings being given authority by virtue of their position, all old world. I think I was reading somewhere, there is nothing like that in the new world. The authority of the ego is gone. I may be a most erudite scholar, yet I may be humbled by the humblest of the humble, illiterate peasant on the road, who may encounter and reveal something, or with the babble of a child. That's how truth reveals itself. It doesn't often fall from the lips of a learned scholar. Seldom. Because scholars have caged their mind in concepts and percepts. Their minds are not free and vast. It's not a universal intelligence. But children, suddenly you will find, hear from the babble of a child, "Emperor, actually, you know, you are not wearing a cloth." How dare! Truth hurts, but truth cures. There is a message mother gave to Jipmer. It was on the inauguration. So I had gone once and there was a meeting for whatever. That's irrelevant. Meetings are all chai samosa. All meetings and discussions and seminars are one of the worst ways to, you know, discover life. But anyways, so I just asked them, because I was interested, "Do you remember mother gave a message and I would like to see it?" They didn't know. Top to bottom, nobody knew. Then they dug up the files. They found, yes, mother gave a message. The message is, my French is poor, maybe you can translate, "Truth cures, veritas curitas." And it's so wonderful. Truth cures. We are wrapped in layers of falsehood and we call it me. That's not me. That's a false identification. Truth is the psychic being in us. Truth is the divine self behind this creation. Truth is the absolute. Truth is the divine mother's love, which is not dependent on anything, any conditions. As she says, she neither judges nor condemns. How can she? She is herself become all this. That is truth. Truth is the grace that leans upon the darkness to lift it out. Truth is Sri Aurobindo's compassion, which is here, knowing us humans. Sometimes I feel, how did you manage to come? When I look at his tapasya, and then when people put a title like yogi, yogini, I wonder. And when somebody wanted, you see, about titles and positions, somebody asked mother, "What shall we write before Sri Aurobindo's name? Maharishi, Mahayogi?" She said, "No, no, no. Don't limit him, for God's sake. Only Sri Aurobindo is enough. His name is a power. I have experiences, my own and others. How that name and the mother's name, it acts upon worlds." And I'm saying this, I need not go into it. Concrete experiences. What kind of a consciousness Sri Aurobindo embodied? Or embodies? Because consciousness anyways never dies. And the divine personality of the avatar is always there. That from a room, he's directing the forces of the world during the Second World War. What is that consciousness? If anybody calls himself a yogi after that, I feel the word loses all its meaning. Sitting on that, the only person who comes little equal to Sri Aurobindo is Krishna. If you look back into the history, and in terms of sacrifice, Christ, in terms of compassion, the Buddha. No one else, nowhere you see. And in fact, Sri Aurobindo embodies in himself the love of, the divine love that Christ embodied, the compassion that Buddha embodied, and the wisdom that Sri Krishna, and the love, bhakti, that Sri Krishna brings upon earth. He embodies all of them. The Shiva's strength to take in all the poison of the earth. What fortunate we are. I can only think that we can only do it with gratitude, that's all. After that name, what other name can ever be glorified? But that's one thing, coming back to Auroville. So we are here to open the way to the future. So people say, what is the method? There is no method. Future is not a mind-regulated thing. Future is not that, okay, there is a system, I will follow it. There are rules and regulations, I will do accordingly. That's not future. Future is to be discovered. Beauty is that I don't know how to deal with the situation. There are standard ways that humanity has followed, mostly based on ego, personal interest, ambitions, selfishness. This is the way. And if I am doing any of it, it's not the future. How to do it? When Sri Aurobindo, the other word which comes is harmony, because he said truth is supreme harmony and delight. So when Sri Aurobindo was asked by Nalanda, what is the secret of collective harmony? Should we sit together on the table, talk to each other? Should we try to formulate an action plan? Should we have a, oneness program or something to do with something, something? I don't know. So many methods we try. We can't even have harmony between husband and wife. We are trying to solve the problem of Israel and Gaza and God knows where. Forget husband and wife. We can't even have a harmony within us. At all. But Sri Aurobindo gives a key. How can we arrive at collective harmony? One line answer. It's a long question. I've forgotten actually. But this much I remember. Toward the end, Nalanda asks him, how can we arrive at collective harmony? Realize collective harmony. Sri Aurobindo says, union in the mother. Period. Union in the mother. That's the baseline. To become one with her, to recognize, know ourselves as a part and parcel, a portion of her. And then on that basis to deal with life, with all these situations that arise. If we are in that consciousness, we release and generate vibrations of harmony automatically. As they say, even the tiger is tamed. The tiger does not attack the yogi. As, of course, this is an experience of the mother in Japan when she speaks about Mr. Tiger, about her friend Alexandra David Neal. But Sri Aurobindo writes that the tiger does not attack the yogi. So that kind of presence is here with us, and that kind of presence has to be developed within each one of us. That is the future. Future is not with the mind, it's a dying civilization. Mind erected a civilization, it's continuing by habit and it's collapsing. You may open any amount of medical schools, you will not cure the problem of healing. You may have alternate systems, still one will not cure the problem of illness. You may have all kind of mumbo jumbo in the name of healing, yet it will not cure, because the roots are within us. And till we tackle it at some point of time, it's going to be all experiment, trial. She said this about Auroville, place of endless experiment. As I, you know, her way, sometimes I find in it a subtle humor. She's saying, do experiment endlessly. Now this is my way of looking at it. Until you will discover, after all your experiments, that the way was as simple as it could be. Try it out. I often use this example. When I came to ashram, then everybody would say, mother. It can't be so simple. And after 10 years you realize, yeah, it's that simple. Because truth is simple. It's so self-evident, like the sun. It doesn't need any advertisement. Wherever there is need of advertisement, there is something else which has come in. It doesn't need. It's self-evident. If it is truth, it will have its impact. When Sri Aurobindo was asked by Tagore, this important even in context of Auroville, because we are trying to call people from all over the world. And Sri Aurobindo was asked by Tagore that if you go to Europe, Europe will listen to your teaching. Because he had the example of Swami Vivekananda. Imagine those days, there were hardly 250 ashram inmates. I wouldn't know the figure. And not many people knew about Sri Aurobindo. Sri Aurobindo looks at him and says, when Europe is ready for the teaching, it will come here. That is the power of the sun. Right here. So harmony, another term she uses so often. She says, all that creates harmony or brings harmony is dear to me. Harmony within us, harmony with materials, harmony with human beings, harmony with the plants and animals. I suppose that is one of the projects of Auroville. To build harmony out of everything, even taking trash and creating something harmonious. Because always with harmony there is beauty and joy. Artificial harmony will never give joy. Artificial harmony, sir, you are so nice. Thank you, madam. Thank you, sir. Inside your mouth. Why do I have to do it? But harmony is smiling. It radiates beauty. It generates joy spontaneously. You have to do nothing actually. None of this paraphernalia. That's the power of harmony. She is goddess Mahalakshmi when she meets Ravan toward the end. He says, you know what? This poor lady, Sita, you have been tormenting. You know who is she? I am the one. Not Ravan. She meets Sahasra Ravan. Ravan has died. This is his worst aspect. She says, you know what? In a moment, I can just send you back to wherever you came from. And she shows his power and he is speechless, powerless, just doesn't know. Because that harmony has paralyzed all his violent instinct, all his thoughts to harm. They are gone. Then she says, but I won't do it now. I give you a chance to change. And she vanishes. Harmony is a power. It doesn't need to fight a battle. It has that capacity inside. So another is harmony. There is unity. And certainly unity is not uniformity. Religions have tried to create it through uniformity. Everybody should think the same way. Everybody should say yes, okay. That's not unity. That's outdated concept. Unity in diversity is the original plan. And diversity includes even opposition to unity. That's the interesting part. And we cannot handle it by the arm of human law. We have to discover another way. Now she doesn't spell out because it's a joy of our discovery. No. Unity between husband and wife who are fighting. How do we create it? You can't do it on a social basis. You can't do it on a legal basis. So somebody was recently asking, there was a controversy. I'll just take 5 minutes. So there was a controversy that, you know, live-in and marriage, and Swamiji's have a habit of saying anything. I said, it's not about marriage or live-in. The important thing is that no law, human law and social pressure can really create the joy of togetherness. It's only love. If love is there at the basis, you don't need to have a certificate. Of course, you have to travel abroad, you need to get married as a certificate. But if you carry that love, then whatever may be in the other person may be very, whatever you may call it, other person, man or woman is not relevant, or man and woman, for God's sake, whatever. Love is love. It's irrespective of all these things. When there is true love, look at how mother loves us. Do we deserve it? Are we worthy? I mean, of course, you may fool the world. That's love. Absolutely unconditional. The other person is fighting with me. It doesn't matter. See, her soul is so beautiful. This is only crust. Just an outer thing, shell. So the other person doesn't recognize my love. Okay, increase the dose of love. Purified. By dose doesn't mean giving the same level. Purify, like homeopathic. Concentrate, refine, till it becomes so powerful. Look at the Divine Mother. There were people, disciples who were fighting. They couldn't see each other eye to eye. We don't want to take names. But in front of Divine Mother, each one is like, you know, Mother. Why? She was saying what was true. It is love which is based on truth, not on the falsehoods of our ignorant nature. So divine love, that is the great builder of the world. That's how she says that. What is her work here? She says, I continue to do his work, which is to serve truth and hasten the rule of divine love. So by serving the truth. So divine love. Love itself is a wonderful thing to meditate upon. And then we reach that. Any key word if it take. Transformation is fine. But these are the key words. Even transformation, evolution, progress. So many keywords. Progress, endless progress. Secret of living young. If we feel there is something still to do, something I have not yet completed mastery within my nature, maybe my greed for samosa. This girl tried to tempt so much. It's very hot, take it, and you know, I said, good opportunity. I love samosa. So I have to learn to conquer this greed, one opportunity given to me. As long as there is one thing in nature which yet needs to be done, as long as we have not given every breath, every heartbeat to the divine, there is always something to do. So we'll always remain young because something we have to do, not just externally but inwardly. That is the secret of youth. So Auroville is a place for that. You know, unending youth. Unending youth is not looking nice and, you know, doing all that. That's okay. But this unending youth, something more, not to be satisfied with whatever is, to manifest more things, new things. So this is a great adventure on which she has launched us. And she's not just launched us, she walks with us. She carries us at every crucial moment, she intervenes. Rest all is in the life of a civilization, nation, creation. So many ups and downs come, we should not focus on that. Institutions rise and fall, empires rise and fall, civilizations rise and fall. But through all this, the mysterious march goes on. So there should be our focus. All these things, rest will come and go. They are there in the secret providence of things. I don't want to say more. The other day people were crying just to say one line. One should be ready. You see, in ancient India, this courage of speaking truth was encouraged. This was Upanishad. When we know that story of Rishi Gautama and Satyakam, who goes to learn from him Brahma Gyan, he says, what is your lineage? Lineage was one of the ways, like the heredity was given importance. See, lineage has its own meaning. Today we talk of heredity. People even do those, you know, genetic testing before marriage. So what is heredity? What is your lineage? If you come from a good heredity, likely you have a good seed. We can take you in. That was the easiest way. So he is asked, what's your lineage? He says, I don't know. Never seen my dad. I'll check. He comes back and says, my mom tells me, you know what? I don't know who your dad is. Big statement. I served with many people. But this I know, that I am your mom. The boy goes and says this. This is ancient India. And he says, Rishi, A woman who can say this is of the highest kind. And you are ready for the highest knowledge. You get that, you know. Courage to speak the truth. So often people, nowadays I hear government, government, government. I just give a little gentle reminder. Who called the government? You sow the wind, you will reap the whirlwind one day. So what is the remedy? There is only one remedy. Whether in this kingdom or that kingdom or any kingdom, the remedy is to reconnect with her. When we trust that she is capable of governing everything and much better than whatever human conception, this is not to be passed in an act of parliament. This is something all of us can do. To live in her, to invoke her, to create a force field by this aspiration, mother, 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 then automatically it will create a beautiful force field. So these are moments which are like yajna, what mother has spoken on Auroville. This is the beauty of all these things. And at the end, I'll just read mother's last testament on Auroville, some of her talks which are recorded here. This is on 30th March 1972. At least this is the one which is documented in collected works. She may have said other things. What is the way? The way is not... of course, it's understood. Freedom is another word she speaks about. But freedom is not licentiousness. We understand. Just as unity is not uniformity. So brotherhood is not a bonhomie and a party. It's something much deeper. So, she says what we are here for, and this is a universal application, but for Auroville it applies. We are here to give up all desires and turn towards the divine and to become conscious of the divine. This Auroville talks, and obviously to all of us. The divine we seek is not remote and inaccessible. It's not like somewhere very far. How are we to seek the divine? Oh my God. What meditation techniques? What methods? He's not far. In fact, he's the stuff of our existence. If he is far, then life is useless. I mean, he is nearer than the breath. That's what I can say. He is nearer than our heartbeats. He is near to our hearts, had we vision to see. We are lost in the pride and the pomp of our passions. We are bound by our thoughts, where we hold ourselves free. So she says, he is not remote and inaccessible. He is at the core of his own creation. And what he wants us to do is to find him. That's the first task. And by our personal transformation to become capable of knowing him, of uniting with him, and in the end of manifesting him consciously. This is the baseline. And to the extent that we will go into that direction and near that, the more we will become her conscious instrument to manifest. Otherwise she will manifest, she will find a way. The divine is not bound by anyone or any method. But so much more beautiful if we take this approach she is recommending. This is what we should consecrate ourselves to. This is our true reason for existence. And our first step. So what is the first step, she is saying? No, not later on. First step towards this sublime realization is the manifestation of the supramental consciousness. You know, nowadays there is in fashion, people often ask why in ashram we don't have free service, we don't have free hospital, we don't have free clothes given, etc., etc. So when Nirodha once asked Sri Aurobindo, I believe that a new hospital is going to come up. He's very happy. He says, dream of a millennium. Mother is opening a new hospital. She says that would not be a dream of a millennium. That would be a nightmare. The dream of a millennium would be when we don't need hospitals. That would be something. That, well, people here don't need hospitals. That will be a benchmark. Once upon a time in China, people were paid. They're way back, that China of, you know, those days, civilization. The doctors were paid if nobody was sick. Someone wishes that a day would come when we won't have hospitals, doctors, priests, politicians, lawyers, policemen. That will be something. That will be the new creation. In the end, she says, to realize and manifest the divine in our own lives is the way. Not to become animals and live like cats and dogs. She makes it very clear. Not to just enjoy life, have party, and it's a very beautiful thing. And of course, she says just the opposite. I won't read what is after that. One sentence I am omitting. It's a talk of 30th March 72. Those who want to read it. There are people who have come just like that. And now when I tell them, this won't do at all, they answer, oh, we didn't come here for that. So that's why it is not something. People should not come to Auroville by any kind of outer advertisement. Simply because they see, nice things are happening, new music therapy is taking place, lovely place. No. They have to feel the call, otherwise it will be the same old world. Let it take time. Divine projects, civilizations build over centuries. Even nations take time to build. Auroville is yet the future in its infancy, as he said, cradle. So there is many things to take place. The child has to come out of the cradle. He has to grow, endless experimentation. Then the child will grow. And when the child grows, one day the child will express the divine idea which has been planted into him like a dream of the divine. Okay, Jayama, thank you.